this episode of GeoTalk, we travel to the top of Australia on a cache hunt. We remind you about an important date on the geocaching calendar. And we find out how you can turn your geocaching photo into a fantastic prize. All this and more on GeoTalk.
Yeah, g'day, Darren. James from Jusajara here with Jeff, Mr. Roo.
G'day.
We're in Threadbow Village, just about to hop on the chairlift and head up for Kosciuszko. Grab the caches up there. We'll probably give you a call from the top if we have reception. Otherwise, we'll give you a call when we get back and let you know how we went. Beautiful day up here in the mountains. Blue sky after travelling all the way up from Canberra in fog. So we're hoping for a magnificent view when we get to the top. Thanks. Bye for now.
Well, welcome to episode 82 of GeoTalk, the first for 2012, January 2012. I'm your host, Darren, from the Spin Doctors, and we're going to catch up with Jeff and James a little bit later in this episode to see how they go looking for the highest cache in Australia. Now, 29th of February is coming up fairly soon, and it's an important date on not just everyone's calendar, but on the geocaching calendar, because it's one of those dates that only appears every four years because it's a leap day, and it's only appeared twice before in the history of geocaching since it started back in May 2000. And I know a lot of people, either last year or this year, have set the goal of completing their geocaching calendar. And 29th of February is not one that you want to miss out if you don't already have it, because you're going to have to wait until 2016 before it comes up again. So mark that in your calendar if you haven't already found a cache on that particular date. There's also a number of events that are occurring around the country on that date, so you can check those out a little bit later in this episode. But also, there's a notice from Groundspeak that anyone who finds a cache on the 29th of February will receive one of those souvenirs. So if you're into collecting souvenirs on your geocaching page, you want to make sure of that as well. Now, also, while on the topic of Groundspeak, notice that in one of their more recent updates, they have added a new feature to the Your Profile page, and that's the recently viewed caches. So if you've ever been in the situation where you were looking up a couple of cache pages on their website, then you went out and found them, the quick way now to get back to those pages is you can get it from your profile page. Now, it shows the first five that you recently viewed, and then if you click on the link in the heading there, on the subheading, you get a list of 20. So that's quite a handy little feature that they've added into that. Now, over the last few months, I've been playing with a app on the Android phone that I have called Neon Geo, and I've written a review that I've posted up on my website, on my personal blog, and I'll give you a link to that in the show notes. And apologies for last month too, I've been a bit slack in updating my show notes, but I will do that in the next few hours. But yeah, the Neon Geo app, it's about $4.25 I think in Australia, probably floats around that mark around the world, depending on your currency. But look, I think it's one of the best geocaching apps that are out there. And yes, you have to pay for it, but hey, you get what you pay for in this world, unless of course you pay too much. But yeah, four and a half out of five stars, I reckon. And if you're using an Android device, this is the perfect tool for caching in those urban areas. Now, over the next few months, I'll be testing out the Magellan 610, Explorer 610, and also writing a review on the GM8 Junior, which Zach got for Christmas. We gave him his own little GPS device, and he's already used it once, and it's actually very easy to use. I quite like it. It's been around for a few years, but we might write a review of that in the upcoming months as well. So that'll be the Magellan 610 and the Apisphere GM8 Junior. Reviews of that coming up. And also, just finally on Magellan, I noticed at CES about a week or two ago, they released the Explorist 110. It looks very similar to the Explorist GC, might have a little bit extra functionality. I haven't been able to really pour over the details yet, but we might see if we can get our hands on that sometime later on this year. Well, 2012 is the year of the mega events down in Australia and New Zealand. Now, New Zealand have just got their mega event listing up online. It's GC35TTR, so that's GC35TTR. Now, that event's going to be held on the long weekend in New Zealand in October. For those of us outside of the country, it's the 19th to the 21st. and it's going to be held in Dunedin, which is in the south, near the south end of the South Island, down the Otago region. And interesting to note that Jeremy, the founder of Groundspeak, has already listed that he will be attending. He'll be down in our neck of the woods towards the end of next year. The other Omega event, which is less than 3 months away, being held in Albury-Wodonga on the Victorian-New South Wales border. The GC code for that is GC2Q4JF. That's GC2Q4JF. The registrations are open for that as well, and you can find out more on their website. I'll give you a link in the show notes. They're getting very close to their 500 registrations, so it looks like that will be a mega event, and that'll be held over the Easter long weekend from the 5th to the 9th of April. Now, GeoTalk has had a number of competitions throughout its history, and we've got another one coming up, and we want to say a big thank you to Alan Arthur from 101 Geo for contributing with this one. He's put together a competition that he's been running now for a few weeks, but wanted to invite all GeoTalk listeners to participate as well. It's the 101 Geo Photo Competition. Now, it's open until the 29th of Feb, that leap day, so it's the end of next month. All you have to do is go to the 101 Geo Facebook page, and that's at facebook.com/101geo, and you'll find the link there to the 101 Geo GeoTalk Facebook photo competition, and you can enter as many times as you like. All you need to do is just upload your favorite geocaching photo. So if you've taken a photo while out geocaching or something geocaching related, upload it to that competition page, and entries close on the 29th of February, and Alan and myself will get together after then, and we'll decide what are our favorite photos. Now, there's some great prizes. Our first prize is a $200 voucher for the 101 Geo Store. That's a $200 value. Second prize is a $50 voucher, and third prize, $25. So why not head over to that website, facebook.com/101geo, and also check out their website to find out, you know, all the different bits and bobs that you can get there for geocaching. It's a fairly well-stocked store, and they'll be also at the Oz Mega event down in Albury this Easter long weekend. Well, the trivia question for this particular episode, thanks to Noikmeister, he's changed his name slightly, he's dropped the R and put an I in there now, it's not Noikmeister, it's Noikmeister. Noikmeister has asked, what are the most favourited geocaches in Australia and New Zealand? So which caches in Australia and New Zealand have the most favourite points? The answer to that at the end of the podcast. And before we head over across the ditch to New Zealand to get an update from Radio Nut 50, just my soapbox time, a moment for me just to have a little bit of a rant. I noticed recently that one of the oldest caches in South Australia, a virtual, was actually archived. Now, I have no problem with the actual archiving in it, as in that, you know, the rules were followed, and the reviewer, Ministro in this case, has followed the geocaching guidelines and archived it. Now, it was archived because the owner of the virtual had not logged in for within the last month. Now, this is actually surprising me. I didn't realize this was in the guidelines, and it's probably a good reminder to have a browse through it again. But you know, what disturbed me was not so much the fact that it was archived or the fact that the owner had no longer was logging in and so forth, but there seemed to be a bit of geopolice activity going on and a bit of finger pointing. The whole kerfuffle started after a should be archived or needs archived log was put up because someone had noticed that the owner had not been logging in or hadn't been playing part of geocaching for a while. That in itself is probably not a big issue. I mean, there are cases where, as geocaches, as a community, we need to highlight when there are geocaches that are not fitting within the guidelines, particularly if they are causing problems elsewhere. So, for example, if, you know, there's a cache that's hidden in a highly sensitive area near an airport or near a military facility and so forth, we really need to sort of, you know, maybe get in touch with the owner. The two things that disappointed me was, first of all, the owner was not contacted initially. They just used the geocaching.com connection. Now, sometimes people change their email addresses and forget to update them in the website. And I certainly have found that recently when I was, you know, chasing up a cache that hadn't been found in a long time and I wanted to go out and find it. I had to find other ways. So that's the first thing. I think if you're going to consider a needs archive log because someone hasn't been online for quite a while, just do a little bit of investigative work. It's not too difficult to use a search engine to find out, or ask people who used to play or used to geocache with that particular individual whether they're still around. The second thing is that people are starting to pinpoint caches that are not in their neck of the woods. Now, in this particular case, when there was debate over the one in South Australia, one geocacher actually highlighted Lane Cove, which is the oldest geocache in New South Wales. Now, it's quite correct that this virtual, the owner of it, hasn't logged into the website for quite a while, but they don't need to because they don't necessarily play the game. But certainly from the email or from the forum correspondence that the forum posts that were appearing on the GCA website, the owner is very quick in getting back and replying whether people have their answers correct for logging that particular virtual. So I think we need to maybe just be a little bit careful and take some time in trying to contact the owner, and maybe just stick to our neck of the woods when it comes to need archives logs. I know it's a very sensitive topic. People don't want to be accused of being the geo police, but at the same time, we need to sort of maintain a certain level of, a certain standard of geocaches out there, and make sure that we don't cause problems for both new players and for muggles alike. Time now to head across the ditch to Alan, Radio Nut 50, with an update from New Zealand.
Hi there everyone from Radio Nut 50 in Hamilton, New Zealand, with some local comment from the side of the Tasman. Well, the first note today from New Zealand has to be our New Zealand Mega has achieved the official Mega event status, and it's now listed on geocaching.com, sitting there waiting for you to log your will attend. Have a look at GC35TTR. Now, this is a fantastic opportunity for New Zealand caches to join in the great fun of a mega event with hundreds of people who look like you, speak like you, spend their leisure time like you. Maybe that's a scary thought. Now, Linda and I attended the first Oz mega event in Wagga Wagga last year and really enjoyed ourselves. The activities were fun, the entertainment was wonderful, and the socialising with such a crowd of people with similar ideals was great. In case you managed to miss it, this event, though, is being held in Dunedin in Labour Weekend, 19th to the 22nd of October. And a keen committee's been working on the program for many months now. You will enjoy your time and meet lots of geocachers, including teams from all over the world, and come away with a new burst of enthusiasm. There'll be more on this, of course, as we get closer, but do consider making the trip. Butterfly Lady and I will be there for sure. An interesting snippet of information that came out at New Year's with the New Year's Honours List in this country was the award of Member of the New Zealand Order of Merit to Brendan Lindsay for services to business. Now, what's that got to do with geocaching? Well, Brendan is the co-founder of a company called Sistema Plastics. Aha! I'm sure most of you will say, those great, really waterproof containers that you've been finding out there have been made by this man. So as geocachers, we can perhaps take a little bit of pride that we perhaps helped with the award by buying lots of their product. And we can thank this man and his company for developing such a useful series of boxes, much more resilient to the ravishes of the weather than most other plasticware. I see Sistema received a Westpac Exporter of the Year award last June also. So it looks like some Oz geocachers or others overseas have been buying them up as well. Well done, everybody. Now this new year, Butterfly Lady and I headed north for a week's holiday in the remote northwest of Auckland. We had a great time, with some caching, of course, fitted in as well. On the way up, we wandered along the cache power trail called 52 Pickup, north of Hamilton, somewhere near Huntley. Now this is pretty much as expected, not really that fascinating as a caching expedition, but a bit of an achievement to get there in the end. This one had 52 hides based on a pack of cards, but I must admit that it was pretty inclement weather on the day and raining, and rather busy traffic, and there were some fairly dodgy parking spots in the middle on that back road, so that encourages us to give a few in the middle a miss. But we'll probably be back sometime on a finer day and walk that missing section. We all know that it's not about the numbers, of course, but working your way through one of these is certainly a way to get your totals up. In the days before we left town, though, we cleaned up a few cases around Hamilton and passed our 4,000 fines milestone. We're pretty proud of that. It's not a bad number for New Zealanders. While we're on holiday, the weather was a bit patchy, but we did have a few moments. One was rather amusing afterwards. Having parked our car in a suburban street, and we walked down a reasonably narrow concrete path to a small park behind a set of houses. Well, we found the cache after a while, and headed back towards the car along the concrete path. It was a brief bit of worry, though, when we looked in the street. There was no car. The street at the end of the path was empty. It didn't take too long, though, to realise the park actually had three entrances, all very similar. And when we'd seen a path as we came in, we saw a path going out and realised there were two. But having walked around a few times with our searching, we managed to switch to a third path accidentally, previously unnoticed, for our return trip. But a quick walk back to the cache again and checking the GPS, we managed to find our cache mobile sitting at the curb where we left it. When we finish each day, when we do a fair bit of caching, we usually have a chat together about what was the most memorable one. Some of those that come to mind over that week were a chirp cache in Glen Eden. That was a technology exercise, so I enjoyed it. We did two Warrigos in that same area as well. Then there was a multi-cord off the rails that took us to the start of a narrow gauge railway in the Waitakere's that dates from the construction of a reservoir dam in the very early 1900s. For scenery, we enjoyed quite a lot of the bushwalk caches in the Waitakere's and a sand dune walk to an earth cache in a dune-bound lake near Bethel's Beach. Quite a lot of the West Coast beach caches in Auckland don't really get a lot of visits, I notice. I guess they're a little bit off the beaten track, and I'd encourage some people to go and have a look in those areas. Really is beautiful scenery. Now, while working those two Warrigos, though, I tried a new application I downloaded for my Android phone called Where You Go. Well, we ran this in parallel with our more usual tools of a Garmin Oregon GPS. Kind of pleased about that. However, the interface and the logical layout of the smartphone application was really a breath of fresh air. It's so much easier to follow when you're going through the steps each point of a Warrigo. The button presses, etc., that you have to do on the GPS are not really that intuitive. You keep having to go backwards and forwards. The phone, though, did, of course, exhibit the usual GPS inaccuracy problem when compared to a reasonably good GPS. But with a Warrigo, that really doesn't matter too much, as all you need to do is walk around until the device thinks it's at the right location, so it'll display the next instruction. You don't have to actually be exactly where the writer of the Warrigo wanted you until you're doing that last search for the final. I did experience that usual problem, though, with that first Warrigo we did. We started out after a reasonably full day of caching, and my phone's battery was getting low. Well, running the Where You Go application, you have the display on all the time, the GPS on all the time, and the battery went flat just before we got to the final. I was kind of glad we had the GPS running at the same time. So let's round up with a quick look at the events coming up in New Zealand. We've got a European mini-meet at Mission Bay in Auckland on the 2nd of February, a barbecue and camp-out event at Kaharangi Park in Coromandel on the 4th of Feb. There's some leap year events on the 29th of Feb in Auckland and Wellington also. And there's a Keisha coffee event close by our home in Huntly listed for 3rd of March. Now in the South Island, there's a Valentine's Day gathering on the 12th of February in Nelson. There's one called Getting Back on Track in Christchurch on the 29th, and another leap year event, this time in Dunedin on the 29th of February. Plus, of course, there's that great mega event now showing up as listed on the 20th of October. So, okay, with that, it's now back to you, Darren.
Well, thanks very much for that update, Alan, and we'll catch up with you again next month. Well, it's time now to rejoin Jeff and James and see how they're going looking for Australia's highest geocache.
Yeah, g'day, Darren. It's James again on our walk to Kosciuszko. We've just reached the lookout and got our first glimpse of our goal. So we'll push on and hopefully talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Well, it's time now to have a look at some of the events occurring around the country in the next few weeks. On the 4th of February up in Newcastle is Better Watch Out, There's Some Strangers in Town. On the 5th of February is the North Sydney Get Together. On the 14th of February over in South Australia, a pub lunch, the first one for 2012. On the 19th of February in Shell Harbour is the 6th annual Illawarra South Coast Get Together. And on the 25th of February in Bendigo is the Meeting at the Mall Flash Mob event number 3. And there are a number of events that are occurring on the 29th of Feb. So remember, if you need to fill in that spot on your calendar, there are events occurring in Melbourne, Bendigo, Brisbane, Wollongong, Ballarat, north of Lismore, Canberra, Adelaide and Stanhope. So there's quite a few there to going around. There might be one or two more that'll pop up before then. But that's some events that are occurring around the country. And just before we finish up on that section, we got an email from someone who's appeared on the podcast before at the last mega event, actually, the one in Wagga. And it's Audra, who also goes by the name of Semik. Now, Semik, first of all, wants to say, hi, I'm no longer in Texas. I'm actually living in Adelaide, South Australia. Well, welcome down under, Semik. It's glad that we had such an impression that you've decided to come here to stay. But she says she's fallen in with a rowdy crowd from Adelaide and is trying to, a group of them are trying to fire up the geocaching awards for South Australia after a two-year hiatus. Now, geocachers who... Geocaching South Australia are urged to email their nominations to the South Australian Geocaching Awards, and the email address for that is SACACHEAWARDS, so SACACHEAWARDS, SACACHEAWARDS at gmail.com. You've got to get your nominations in by the 15th of February. They're welcoming nominations and, of course, voting later on from not just caches in South Australia, but also outside, anyone who's cached in the state. And there'll be a link in the GCA forums in the South Australian section, so check that out and be part of the South Australia Geocaching Awards for 2012. Well, it's time now to head back to the top of the Australia and let's see how James and Jeff are going.
G'day, Darren. It's James from Juice O'Jara and Jeff from Mr. Roo again. We've made it. We're sitting on top of Mount Kosciuszko, having a bit of lunch at the moment and hopefully waiting for the crowds to disperse before starting our search for the traditional up here and work on our answers for the Earth Cache. Magic day. Clouds are starting to come over, but plenty of blue sky, and the view is for miles, so well worth the walk. We came up from Threadbow. Yeah, well worth the walk for anyone that wants to give it a go. Cheers for now.
Well, let's dive now into the geocaching mailbag, and first of all, we've got one from the Dot Simpsons, and the email comes from Marge, who's part of the Dot Simpsons, but she goes by the name of Fiona, and she wants to say that their family had a few days recently in Walpole. Did I pronounce that correctly? I hope I did. W-A-L-P-O-L-E, Walpole. And they'd been researching some caches in the area and found a few by Roymerk and in the Denmark area. And they managed to talk Homer, or Marge managed to talk Homer, I think this is another member of the Simpsons, into a day trip to the area to do some of them. And they were glad they did. They said they were fantastic, very, very imaginative, amazing installations and constructions, and suggest that if we haven't spoken of Roymerk, which we actually haven't, maybe we should feature him in the podcast. So we might chase him up. Roymerk, if you're listening, if you listen to the podcast, get in touch with us. We'd love to speak to you about your caches up around the Denmark area. Now, Marge says she doesn't want to give any spoilers away, but she can check out the listings on the geocaching.com website and you'll realise they are fairly special. Well worth a trip from Sydney, not too far away. So if you're heading up that way, it's a beautiful area, heaps of beaches, rivers and forests. So you can come out and also find out how big a tingle tree can grow. Never heard of tingle tree. I might have to do some research. Anyway, looking forward to the next podcast. Thanks very much, Fiona, a.k.a. Marge from the Dot Simpsons. We've got a couple of calls, quite a few calls, actually. So let's start off, first of all, over in New Zealand with the organist.
G'day, Darren, the organist here. Visited cache GCE02C yesterday. This has got to be one of my favourites, absolutely. In fact, it seems to be the favourite of 520 people, because that's how many favourite points it's got. Pretty much the story, available between 8:30 and 5, and you pop in, talk to a person behind a desk, and they call an engineer to take you to the artwork. Let me say that there are some pretty fantastic views of New Orleans from there. enough said. Plenty of photos in the gallery if you want to go and have a look. And cache number 1700 for me. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks, Martin, for that. I should point out, Martin's from New Zealand, but he's actually in the US at the moment. Now, head down to Canberra, where we've got a call from an event that's occurring on Lake Burley Griffin.
Yeah, good morning. It's Justin here from Growing Up's Optional. I'm currently sitting with about 12 other kayaks on Lake Burley Griffin. We've just completed our Bursal's canoeing in the capital this morning, so it was a nice event, and now we're currently all paddling around the lake, kicking off the cases on the island. So we just thought we'd go out and say, hey.
Hey, you up, you talk. Hey! Hey!
See, we're not having much fun. Excellent. All right, catch you later. Bye.
Thanks very much for that, Justin. Now let's head over to central western New South Wales, where we've got a call from Grizz4B, who's searching for another very unloved cache.
Hello, Spindock, Bob, and fellow geocachers. It's Grizz4B calling again, seeking a long-lost cache. That is, a cache that's been active for a long time, but hasn't been found in that time. I'm looking today with Rosie and Bethany for Pirate's Treasure, GCXDEV, located on a small island in the middle of Chifley Dam Bathurst. This cache was placed and last found in 2007. After much, much searching, I'm glad to say we finally found it. So it's now been 1,494 days. It's more than 4 years since its last find. We wonder if this is a record of some sort. You might think from the satellite imagery that there aren't a lot of places to hide an ammo tin out here, but Team AAA have certainly done an excellent job of making it work for your smiley. It certainly is not an easy find, and 4 years have helped blend in very well with its environment. Now, I'm sorry to say that the wind has risen a lot during our search, and it's going to be against us, paddling back on our inflatable dinghy with its crappy plastic pedals. It's going to be a tough job. So if you don't see any more smileys from us in the next few weeks, please send a search party. Signing off, hopefully not for good, Grizz4B, Rosie and Bethany.
Spud, I'm calling from Melbourne. We're on the FTS hunt. We've already hit two trads and a multi. And then we had a third one, a fourth one rather, pop up. It was about 10Ks away, another trad, and we've just been there and met up with 80 Degrees, and we're having a good chat. And suddenly Minestrone's pulled his finger out and published a few more, which is awesome because we've had a bit of a dry spell of about 4 days. So we're currently on the Eastern Freeway. For those not in Melbourne, we're probably about 8Ks, I suppose, east of the city. And anyway, we're heading south to one in Hawthorne. We're about 6Ks away from it, and suddenly a Stacey V one pops up, and Covert decides 41Ks is close enough that we can take a slight detour, I suppose you could say. So we're passing Bulleen Road. We've probably got about a good 35Ks to go. It's I think, 3.5 difficulty or something like that, which if anyone knows Stacey V hides, they're well worth it, guys, even if it is a good half hour out of your way. I'll perhaps give you a call back once we get a bit closer. All right, a bit more info before I do go. It's called Stacey's Train. GC3ANZT. It's 3ANVT. And we've got another one popped up as well. Perhaps I should hang up and work out where that is. I'll call back. Thank you.
And thanks for that call in, Spladdum. Now, unfortunately, I don't know whether you guys forgot to call or whether we didn't get the call, but that was the last we actually heard from Spladdum. Now, just to make sure that he's okay, I actually checked on the geocaching.com website and on the GCA forums, and he has been posting since then, has been looking for caches, so he hasn't been lost anywhere, which is good to hear. And our final call is from Jeff and James. Let's see how they finished up on their day caching up in the snowy mountains in southern New South Wales.
G'day, Darren, James and Jeff again, just back down in Treadbow Village after enduring a 10-minute hailstorm on the walk back. However, that didn't deter from the walk. It was a fantastic walk up to the top. I would recommend it to anyone. Cheers.
site.
Well, thanks to everyone who sent in a call or dropped us an email. And don't forget, it's quite easy to send a message in, whether it's a milestone, a congratulations, or whether you found a spectacular case or you just want to say hi. All you have to do is send us an email to geotalkpodcast@gmail.com. That's geotalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can either type it up and send it in, or you can record some audio and attach it to an email and drop it to us. Or an even easier way, if you want to get some audio to us, is phone it in on 02-800-5436. That's 02-800-5436. Leave a message on the voicemail and hopefully we'll play it on the next podcast. And if it's the first time you've had an email or audio appear on the podcast, please drop us an email with your address and we'll post out a GeoTalk path tag as thanks for contributing to the podcast. Well, that's all for this episode of GeoTalk, but before we go, we better give you the answer to the trivia question. And before that, we actually have to give a bit of an apology, which I meant to give last episode. Now, back in episode 80, I asked the question, how many caches hidden in 2001 still exist in each state? And there was one that I actually forgot to mention, and it was the ACT. So I'm very, very sorry, particularly given I started caching in that state/territory. The answer was 5. By the way, there are still 5 geocaches hidden in 2001 that are active in the ACT. So apology to all you Canberra geocaches out there for forgetting to mention it, not only in episode 80, but also the apology in 81. So consider this an apology to you all. Anyway, the answer to this particular question, which geocaches have the most number of favourites in Australia and New Zealand? We better start with the ACT first off then. That is Godzilla and Friend with 26 favourite points. In New Zealand is the Cryptic Babushka with 47 points. In Northern Territory is Uluru Ayers Rock with 23. In Queensland is Holy Ship with 28 favourite points. The one with the most in the country is in South Australia, Vision of Light with 53 favourite points. In Tasmania, Bluff Shell with 20 points. In Victoria, the cache with the most number of favourite points is Unexpected with 49. And in Western Australia, a Disarming Bomb with 31 points. Now, in New Zealand, in the North Island, it's Geocache by Kevin Anderson. That's the oldest cache in New Zealand with 36 points. And in the South Island is the Punakaiki Pancakes Earth Cache with 39 points. I've actually done that one. Fantastic location. If you're heading down to the mega event in New Zealand, if you've got some time, head over to the other side of the island and check that one out. It's a fantastic cache. And also, one other extra area now that we get to mention New Zealand, the Chatham Islands, which is now recognised on geocaching.com as its own little separate area. They have 2 geocaches out there, and only one of them has a favourite point. It has one of them, and that's First to See the Sun, Chatham Islands in New Zealand. So it's got the most favourited geocache in the Chatham Islands region of New Zealand. Well, that's all for this episode of GeoTalk. Until next time, we'll catch you next month. Safe geocaching. Mm-hmm.